meeting. The use of the chat function is discouraged, as this is recorded. All things that you see live, all things that you hear, and all things on the chat will be present. Should any aspect of a councillor's remote participation fail, we will adjourn this and we will then determine whether the connection can be quickly re-established. If it's not restored within that time, the meeting should continue to deal with the business whilst it happens, providing that the meeting remains quiet and the public are still able to hear. Any member participating in the remote meeting who declares a disclosable pecuniary interest or other declarable interest in the items of business that would normally require them to leave the room must also leave the remote meeting. Their departure will be confirmed by the Democratic Service people, who will invite the relevant member by link, email or phone to rejoin the meeting at the appropriate time. When referring to a specific report, a page or a slide, once we've had our presentations, it will be useful if the councillors can mention the report, page or slide number so that all councillors have a clear understanding of what is being discussed at all times. When we are voting, a roll call of the members will be made in alphabetical order, and when your name is called, please state whether you're for, against or abstaining. When the roll call has ended, an announcement will be made as to whether the motion has been carried or whether it is defeated. When confidential or exempt issues, as defined in Schedule 12A of the Local Government Act 1972, are under consideration at the relevant part of the meeting, Democratic Services will ensure that there are no members of the public in remote attendance or remotely accessing the meeting, and that they are unable to then hear or see the proceedings once the exclusion has been agreed by the meeting. At the end of this meeting, I will ask you all to very promptly hang up and thank you for your time, and members must not participate in any further discussions. So after all that, and a deep breath, welcome, my name is Councillor Vicky Gould and I'm chair of this committee. We also have present Chris Sylvester, who is the vice chair, Councillor Chris Sylvester. We had our head of service, Sal Khan, our planning manager, Ashley Baldwin, our legal representative, Sherry Grant, our Democratic Services officer is Monica Henchcliffe, and for planning officers we have Alan Harvey, Barbara Toy and Emily Summers. So in attendance we also have Councillor Bev Ashcroft, Councillor Ed Barker, Councillor Becky Brady, Councillor Ken Bills, Councillor Ray Faulkner, Councillor Greg Hall, Councillor Alison Legg, Councillor Graham Lamb, Councillor Sue McGarry, Councillor Sheena McKiernan, Councillor Beryl Toon, and Councillor Colin Whittaker. Are there any apologies for absence? This is agenda item one.
No apologies, Chairman.
Thank you. Agenda item two then, any declarations of interest? Wait a second, my screen's frozen. Councillor Lamb, please, first.
Yes, on the five lane allotments, I'm a patient of one of the surgeries mentioned in that and also on their patient group.
Okay. Thank you for that, that will be noted. Councillor Brady.
Firm interest on the 5.2 five lands. I'm a parish councillor, however, when this matter has been discussed, I have left the room, declared an interest at the meeting, and I left the room. So I do come to this meeting with an open mind. Thank you.
Thank you, that is noted. Councillor Sylvester.
Yeah, I have a private interest on item 5.4, the planning application for Brookside Business Park in Utopia, in that the proposed new access road passes my business premises and that my landlord is also the developer on the application. Therefore, I will not participate or vote on the application.
Thank you for that, Councillor Sylvester. Councillor Legg.
I also was at the same parish council meeting as Councillor Becky Brady and also left the room, and I come today with an open mind to this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you for all those. Right. So we're on to agenda item 3, the minutes held of the last meeting of, so we can go through those ones. We did have come through yesterday the revised set of minutes, and they're the ones that we will be going through with a slight amendment to what was sent out in the post. Are we all familiar with those ones? Okay. Do we have a proposal for the set of minutes? Councillor Faulkner? Councillor Lamb.
Chair, before we go on with that, that I am not quite sure, but in my electronic minutes, in regard to a refusal, it said that it was acceptable and it should have read unacceptable.
Is that through on the amended version from yesterday?
That's what I was reading last night. I'm not quite sure whether it was the amended version or not. It needs checking.
Okay. We'll check through and make sure that that's actually declared right. Okay, Councillor Lamb.
Yeah, on the Rose Avenue application, it's got that I voted for the proposal, but I voted against the proposal.
Okay, can that be noted as well then, please? And once those have been checked, and we'll agree those through, would you like to go through a... Councillor McKinnon?
Hello. My recollection was that I voted against the Rose Avenue as well.
Right. Bear with me. We'll get that checked through and make sure that we have that corrected. Any other points or queries on the minutes from last meeting? No? Okay. So if I can ask, we get those checked and signed through. Councillor McGarry.
Sorry, Chair. I was just going to propose that we accept those minutes.
Thank you, Councillor McGarry. Do we have a second for those then? Thank you, Councillor Legg. Right, Monica, would you like to go through a named vote for those then, please? Sorry, I can't hear you if you'd like to unmute.
Councillor Gould.
I will be for those minutes.
Okay. Councillor Ashcroft.
For.
Councillor Barker.
For.
Councillor Brady.
For.
Councillor Bill.
For.
Councillor Faulkner.
Four.
Councillor Hall.
Four.
Councillor Lamb.
Four.
Councillor Legg. Councillor Legg.
Four.
Councillor McGarry.
Four.
Councillor McKiernan.
Four.
Councillor Sylvester.
Four.
Councillor Toon.
Four.
Councillor Whittaker.
Four.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Agenda item 4. Are there any matters of urgent business to be brought before the committee?
There are none, Chairman.
Thank you. So we go on to items 5 and our applications. So 5.1 will be application 2020-00206. Which is retention of a driveway of Cherry Tree House. And if I could ask for Barbara to please present that to us, that'd be lovely.
Share the screen. Can everybody see that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good afternoon. This application number P/2020/00206 for Cherry Tree House, Smithy Lane, Addington. The application is a retrospective application for retention of a driveway, continued use of agricultural land as garden curtilage to cherry tree heads, and use of the farm building as a garage and carport. The scheme has been amended since the submission, as the metal storage container at the site has now been removed. The application is therefore for the change of use of the land and building. The building is already granted planning approval in 2017. This is the site. The site is the outlined in black. Cherry Tree House and its original garden is outlined in blue. The mauve area shows the conservation area, so the site is situated in the Admaston Conservation Area, and the properties hatched green to the west of the site are listed buildings. Sorry, it's got the pointer on, so I can identify them. So the green buildings to the west are listed buildings. The aerial photograph shows the properties to the west in School Lane, where the listed buildings are, and shows the separation of the site from the existing agricultural land to the east and to the north of the site. An extract of the site layout shows the cherry tree house to the north of the site. This is the agricultural building that's now been used as a garage and carport. This is the new driveway, the gated and then a driveway to the garage and carport. The remainder of the land remains as an open paddock. This is the new driveway that has been created with the gated access with paling fence at either side. A small section of hedging has been removed either side to slightly widen the access. This is an extract from Google to show that there was an existing access point into the agricultural land in the same position, the gate being within the hedge line. General layout showing a gravelled driveway from the new gated access up to the garage building, the houses in the distance and the open field. This is the agricultural building that was granted consent in 2017 that is now being used as a garage and carport area. The building is as it was built and as approved, showing double doors in two of the bays and two open bays. Just a general view of the site, so showing its open nature. Only the very top of the roof of the garage building is visible above the main hedging that is along Smithy Lane. This area here is a new planting, hedge planting. It was previously the vehicle access to the residential property of Cherry Tree House. That has obviously been removed and hedging put in its place to continue the boundary. General view of Smithy Lane. The access point to the field is approximately here, but it's barely visible within the street scene. But the high hedging either side of the road. The access point with the hedging retained either side. This is taken from the B5103, right number, to the main road, basically, showing that there is hedging surrounding the site. Going through to the report details, the conservation officer has raised no objection to the proposals, either to the conservation area itself or to the listed buildings that are situated to the west of the site in School Lane. parish council, three of the councillors raised an objection, two councillors raised objections but chose to write separately regarding those. 14 letters of objection have been received from 9 addresses, and more than one letter has been received from 2 objectors. The main objections raised are the fact that the application is retrospective, the work has already been undertaken, that the land should revert to agricultural use, that domestic use is not appropriate in the conservation area, that some of the hedging has been removed and that previously some trees have been removed from the site, and that the build height and scale of the agricultural building, the building is visible and it's not agricultural, it's more of a domestic use. The principle of the development, the use of the land as residential curtilage to Cherrytree House is considered acceptable and complies with DT3. The land is bounded by 2 roads and 2 residential properties. It's separated from other agricultural land and is not viable as an agricultural holding in its own right. The garage stroke carport was approved and built as an agricultural building, and used to convert it has made no physical changes to the building in compliance with policy SP8. In terms of design and layout and the character of the area, the site is enclosed on 3 sides by high hedges, and the condition is recommended that the hedging is retained at its current height or above. The new driveway is in the same place as the previous access to the agricultural land, and the previous residential access has been removed and new hedging planted. An automatic gate has been provided at the new driveway, and a condition is recommended that native planting is put behind the fences that are either side of the driveway. The site remains open with the fenced paddock, with only glimpse views through to the site as the access point, and a condition is recommended to remove permitted development rights to avoid any residential paraphernalia within the land. The design and layout of the site is considered appropriate for the location. All the objections raised are from residents in School Lane to the west of Smithy Lane. The closest property then is 38 metres from the site boundary, with high hedging at the end of the gardens and within Smithy Lane. The change of use would have no adverse impact on the amenities of the surrounding residential occupiers. The new driveway utilises the existing vehicle access to the land. The hard standing is from the gate allows the vehicle to sit off the highway whilst the gates are opened. The garage and carport provide parking for 4 vehicles, more than meeting the parking standards for the dwelling. The site is within the Edmaston Conservation Area, and there are several Grade 2 listed buildings within School Lane. The boundary hedging will be retained, which screens the site and change of use and makes no physical changes. The proposal would not result in harm to the listed buildings within the vicinity or the conservation area. In terms of biodiversity, the existing hedges surrounding the site will be retained. In conclusion, the use of the land as residential curtilage is considered appropriate and in compliance with policy DP3. The design and layout of the site complies with policies DP3 and SP24. The proposals have no adverse impact on the amenities of the surrounding occupiers, the character of the area, the listed buildings, or the conservation area, in compliance with policies DP1, DP3, SP25, and DP5. The new driveway and parking being in compliance with policy SP35 and the parking standards SPD. The recommendation to approve with conditions as per the report.
Thank you for that, Barbara. Right, so if I open up the public speaking part of this, and we have a statement to be read out on behalf of a Mr. Stan Hume, please.
Thank you, Chair. Just bear with me, I'll get the statement up.
No problem.
Okay, members of the committee, I'll commence now. So thank you for the opportunity to present the findings of the local residents who object to this application. Some important and relevant history has been included in our submission. Objection one, the original building applications in 2016 and 2017 both applied for a replacement agricultural building for animal shelter and storage to replace the existing lean-to lambing shed. Both versions made a point of emphasising agriculture use throughout. Since coming into its present ownership, the field has not been used for agricultural purposes, other than a few chickens in a mobile hen house. A long-term tenant sheep farmer was removed before his tenancy expired. A set of rugby posts installed and the field was mown. It was obvious that the owners had no intention of using either the field or the building for agricultural purposes. Within this application, the statement is made that the land would be unlikely to form part of a viable agricultural unit if left in that use. That should have been investigated before earlier applications were submitted. The previous tenant farmer and his son found it to be viable for over 30 years. The land should therefore remain in agricultural use, properly reflecting the nature of the area. Objection two, there exists adjacent to the house a double garage on a large plot that was then and still is capable of being developed into a larger garage for the cars. This does not impinge upon the agricultural field in any manner. There is no case to be made for additional garaging. Objection three, with the removal of the original drive to the house, the new drive together with the agriculture building occupies a fair proportion of the original field. The field is an area of good pasture land and should be restored to its original agriculture usage, especially as the earlier applications stressed the agricultural element. Objection four, a healthy broadleaf tree was felled as part of the new field drive preparation work and remains quickly removed. No application or approval was received for this action in the conservation area. This activity is unacceptable and needs to be investigated further. Objection five, since the removal of the tenant farmer, the field has been regularly mown using a ride-on mower and then used as an area for riding on quad bikes and latterly scrambler-type junior motorbikes. These have been the subject of noise complaints. The sheep were somewhat quieter when keeping the grass down and gave a great deal of pleasure to residents and visitors alike. This is a much-loved and rather unique conservation area where this type of activity is not appropriate. The field should be restored to agricultural use. Thank you for listening. We trust you appreciate our very real and important as concerns. We now ask you for your support by refusing the application. And that concludes that statement, Chair.
Thank you for that. We also have another public speaker that is going to be read out by yourself, Mr. Kevin Macy.
Okay, committee members, I'm going to start with this now. As a resident of Edmiston and a member of the parish council, I wanted to convey my objections to the above planning application. Although our council chose not to object, I have to speak for local residents who contacted me with their concerns. I am keen for the council to ensure that Edmiston Conservation Area does not disappear. It was settled to be used as a policy basis for the control of development. We all know that conservation does not need to stop change, but must remember that it needs to maintain the character and feel of an area. The character and feel of the area in dispute is that of an agricultural pasture lands. The main road cutting the field off has actually made it an integral part of the village, and I believe it should be left as agricultural land. I object to the fact that a large tree was removed without consent. Other members of the parish, including myself, have had to abide by the rules when trimming trees, and some have even had applications denied, yet I have not seen any mention of enforcement over the act, despite photographic proof provided. I object to the fact that the building referred to as the agriculture building, now in use as a garage, was ever actually deemed for agriculture use despite its original planning application, for its build stating it was a replacement for the old animal shelter, the original being more akin to a temporary open lean-to structure barely 6 feet tall. As a councillor, I understand each application is taken on its own merits, but residents are concerned of a potential development issue. The size of the garage could lend itself to converting into a domestic dwelling, coupled with a new shared driveway with a relocated access point, which should keep the cars away from the main house and a convenient former garage building to the left of the house. You can see their point of view, especially as I've already mentioned the guideline policy of the conservation area is to control development. As I understand it, there are also regulations in place regarding motorcycle tracks on farmland. Residents have had to endure some levels of noise made by vehicles riding around the field. I understand that it is okay for farmers doing their work, but not as a recreation or sport. If that noise can be enforced on those grounds, then it is another good reason for keeping its agricultural land. Again, the type of activity does not fit within the conservation area. When the application for the agriculture building garage was put in, it clearly says agriculture use and agricultural storage. As it has not really had any real agriculture use, I would suspect the applicant saw the purchase as an extension to his garden. If he no longer wishes to pursue agricultural activity, he could consider renting it out to one of the local sheep farmers, or maybe turn it into a wildflower meadow and still have a pleasant outdoor vista to admire while it would still retain its agriculture status. While I wish the applicant no ill feelings over these comments, I've been happy to reinforce my personal objection while speaking as a voice of other residents who originally came to me with their concern. And that concludes that statement, Chair.
Thank you for that. I move to allow Mr. James Wilkes, who is our public speaker, to come forward, please. Mr. Wilkes, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Are you aware of our public speaking policy?
Yes,
yep. I am. You have 3 minutes. Ready to go when you are. We will, of course, warn you when you've got a minute left.
That's fine.
Okay, so when you're ready.
I act as agent for the applicants in this matter. The application is for retention of a driveway, continued use of a former agricultural land as domestic garden and farm building as garage and carport. The details of the matter are all as described in the officer report. And this makes clear that the application should be approved as there is no conflict with national policies or local policies, in particular policy DP3 in the local plan. The site is within the Admaston Conservation Area, but there are no listed buildings immediately adjacent to the site. The Conservation Officer has indicated that there are no issues with the application, which cannot be dealt with by way of conditions. The applicant, with my advice, removed the container which was positioned on the site as this was considered to be incongruous in this location within the conservation area. This was done within a couple of weeks of the matter being raised by the planning officer following the site visit. Land was in agricultural use but is not connected to any other unit and is surrounded by roads and other dwellings on all sides. To make commercial use of this land for agricultural purposes would be difficult. No new buildings have been provided. The existing building was previously granted planning permission. This is simply a change of use. Regarding the tree that had been removed, this was discussed with the enforcement officer and I think with the council's tree officer, and it was decided that this was not an issue. By granting the permission requested, the council would be able to exercise much greater control over future use and could ensure that the rural appearance of the site remains. In practice, this would be much greater control than if the land remained in agricultural use. That's all I wish to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that, Mr. Wilkes. Right, as we've got no further public speaking, I would like to open this up for our committee to discuss. Is there anyone who has a comment that they wish to make? Councillor McKiernan.
Thank you, Chair. While I feel for the residents who are objecting, there is nothing to stop the land becoming agricultural again, is there, should a new owner or the current owner wish to change it back?
Right, would you like to come back on that one, Barbara, at all?
If permission is granted for it to be a part of the residential curtilage, to revert it back to agricultural again would require planning consent. But, you know, any new owner or the current owner could make that application.
Thank you.
Councillor Whittaker, please.
Like Councillor McKinnon, I do have sort of sympathy with some of the residents because of the agricultural building. I think the actual justification for agriculture at the time was very weak on the basis of the tenancy and the way that business was carried out. But that is not on the table today. We're discussing what's in front of us, which is change of use to that and the land. It is an acre of ground which is sort of within residential area. There's no sort of address to any other fields. I feel it will be better maintained and back talked after in this sort of if it's taken on board as domestic. Obviously, I'm not happy with the fact it being retrospective application. It'd be nice if it came to us before. But I think the driveway has been done sort of sympathetically with the gate, and I think that's sort of in the rural area. I think that is good. Any issues around noise, I hope, would be taken care of by the authority. And I think it would be not detrimental to the area. So I'm quite happy with this application. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Hall.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I too have some sympathy with some locals about understanding how an agricultural building was very quickly became a garage. But nevertheless, the application in front of us today, I'm content that it should be approved, particularly with the conditions that are attached to it, the retention of boundary hedging, the landscaping scheme, and the implementation of that landscaping in particular. And of course, I acknowledge that the noises that people make in their gardens aren't a planning matter, are they?
That's it. So we're dealing very much with the change of use for the land and the fact that we have a change of use for that agricultural building. And everything else really is outside the remit of what we can really deal with, I'm afraid, on that one. Councillor Bills.
Thank you, Chair. Completely agree with the previous speakers. Just one point, the container that was removed, if there was a requirement for it to come back on the site, would that have to require planning permission? Or is there anything that prevents containers returning to that site?
Barbara, would you like to come back on that one?
Yes, certainly. Yes, planning consent would be required to site a container on the land. And the applicant was made aware that it was unacceptable and that we couldn't support the container on the land, hence why it was removed and removed as part of the application.
Thank you, Barbara.
Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Chair. Condition 5, retention of garage / parking space bespoke. Is it possible that this can be strengthened to ensure that the garage and carport is never actually used and made use of as residential accommodation? It says there to ensure adequate off-street parking, etc., etc., and the residential use of premises unless planning permission for any alternative use has first been granted. I'd like that beefing up if it's possible.
Thank you, Councillor. Would you like to come forward on that one, Barbara?
It does say, shall be made available at all times the parking of vehicles in relation to the residential use. So it is restricted for parking of vehicles. How would you, what other wording would you want to see in there?
Well, I would like the the wording "unless planning permission for any alternative use is first being granted by a local planning authority" deleted.
Yeah. Have you any comments to make on that, Ashley?
I think if that's something we want to amend, then obviously we'd need to really consider. I mean, my view is the existing wording is appropriate, and I'd be advising committee that we retain the existing wording that we've already put forward. I don't know if Barbara wants to sort of add anything to that, but I think it's comprehensive as it is, in my opinion.
Yeah, I felt that it said what it needed to, that it does, at all times, it should be used for the parking of vehicles.
Can I ask a question? Did the original agricultural use say at all times be used for agriculture?
I haven't got a copy directly in front of me, but it was approved as an agricultural building.
Well, there you go. Immediately, it brings to mind that whatever we write, if there is a loophole, someone will exploit it, and we're leaving a loophole. We've already had this agricultural building now having change of use to garage and part of the curtilage. The next step will be to change use from the garage to domestic buildings. And I think we should actually make it quite clear that that is not possible. We've already had agricultural use overturned with a change of use.
Can I just come in, Councillor Gould? Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, we've obviously got the condition on there that obviously is for the retention and is for the use as a garage. It's difficult. I mean, obviously, we've got the other condition that you also need to read it in tandem with, is that there's no permitted development lights. It's been all been restricted and removed as well. And obviously, we can't, by planning condition, obviously affect anything that's auxiliary to a dwelling house if it's a garage. But if you look at the description of the development, that clearly says it's for a garage and associated storage. So obviously any material change in that use would require planning permission. And obviously then it comes down to enforcement matters. So I agree with Ashley on this one. I don't think that it wouldn't be reasonable, wouldn't meet the test of the conditions to add that particular additional wording to the existing condition.
Thank you, Sherry, for making that quite clear for us now. Have we got any further comments that we would like to make on this at the moment? No. Do I have a proposal of a motion at all? Councillor Hall.
Everybody's very quiet. I don't know why. So I will propose that we permit as per the recommendation and with the conditions in the report.
Thank you, Councillor Hall. Do we have a seconder for that proposal? Councillor Barker. Okay, thank you very much. Can we then go forward for a name vote then, please?
Councillor Gould.
I am for.
Councillor Ashcroft.
For.
Councillor Barker.
For.
Councillor Brady.
For.
Councillor Bill.
For.
Councillor Faulkner.
For.
Councillor Hall.
For.
Councillor Lamb.
For.
Councillor Legge.
For.
Councillor McGarry.
For.
Councillor McKiernan.
For.
Councillor Sylvester.
For.
Councillor Toon.
For.
Councillor Whittaker.
For.
Unanimous, Chair.
Thank you. So that is carried and that will be approved. Thank you for the presentation. Right, if we can move on to agenda item 5.2 then, which is planning application 2019 01465 and this is for five lands allotments. And if I can ask Emily to present to the group, please.
Chair, can I just request a short adjournment just while I discuss something with our legal representative before we move on to the application? I just want to clarify something before we move into presentation. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. We take, say, 5 minutes.
Okay, if we can then have that recorded that we're having this break for 5 minutes then, please. So, Emily, if you would like to take over the presentation, then please.
So, this is application P2019-01465 at Bibelands Allotment, Stapen Hill. Proposal is for the erection of 64 affordable dwellings and the construction of vehicular access. So this is the application site. So this is Main Street, Rosliston Road, Saxon Street, Stanton Road and Holly Street. Here's an aerial view of the site. Some of you may be aware that there was a previous outline consent on the site that was granted permission last year. Here's a plan that just shows the difference in the site area. This amounts to about 0.28 hectares more, mainly to the southern side of the site, and a small area of land joining to Rosliston Road. So the proposal is for 64 dwellings, affordable dwellings, consisting of a mix of 1 to 4 bed units. There's a mixture of houses and there's 2 apartment blocks, one here and one here. The proposed vehicular access is through Fivelands Road here, and there'll be a pedestrian access up onto Stanton Road here. Allotments are retained over to the south end of the site here. Here's some examples of some of the house types that are proposed, a mixture of brick and with render features. This is one of the proposed elevations of the apartment block to the front of the site. Proposed boundary treatment, so we touched on it, the site visit, and just to confirm that along the bottom here will be a 1.8 metre high timber fence. And to this boundary here with the wildlife corridor, would be a 1.8 metre post and rail fence. Just to point out that the area around the site would be a wildlife corridor. There's open space here to the west along the attenuation basin here. Moving on to a few photographs. So this is the proposed entrance to the site off Fivelands Road. The wall here would be demolished in part to make way for that and made good elsewhere along its boundary. This is the other side of the wall, showing some of the allotment provision which is currently on site. Just with relation to highway improvements, this just shows what would be secured as part of any permission. So mainly some a new curb line and tactile paving. So moving through the site, this is one of the existing footpaths through the site, which isn't a public right of way. As you can see, the site is quite overgrown at the moment. Just to clarify a few levels with you. So the site does have some very differing site levels across it. So looking at section AA here, increases by 5 metres across the site. BB, 8.7 metres. CC, 10.8 metres. And D, just here, 12.54. And E, about 5 metres there. A few more photographs. Again, showing how overgrown the site is in part. So this is looking back along the footpath to the houses on Five Lanes Road and Convent Close. These photos just demonstrate the levels drop on the eastern side of the site. And as to these photographs looking north, and this one is looking back onto the backs of the properties on Rosliston Road and Convent Close down here. This is the photograph showing the access to the site from Rosliston Road, which I believe has been used as a footpath. And these are the current allotments in this area of the site, which is not part of the application site, and those are accessed from Saxon Street. So moving on, various consultations have been carried out. The county archaeologist, no objections subject to a condition. The site just contains an Anglo-Saxon cemetery remains, and a archaeology assessment was submitted with the application. So the county archaeologist has raised no objection, subject to a written scheme of investigation. The county ecologist, again, no objection, subject to conditions. I've also asked the county ecologist to go through all the objections that we received based on ecology, and again on that basis she was happy, subject to conditions. Educational authority, they requested contributions which have been fully met through section 106. Highway authority, no objections again, subject to conditions such as the improvement works that I showed you. Leave local flood authority, getting no objections. So the county rights of way officer confirmed that there's no public rights of way through the site, and on that basis has no objections. The environment agency, no objections. Natural England, no objections. The National Forest Company, again, no objection, based on the site, based on the fact that large areas of the site are to be retained. There's no need for any further planting, and was happy on this basis, subject to a management plan for the wildlife corridor. Ramblers Association, no objection. Severn Trent, no objections. NHS Clinical Commissioning Group, no objections, subject to contributions, which again have been met. And so various council internal departments were consulted, including housing strategy on the housing mix, tree officers, etc., and no objections were raised by them. So moving on, We received two objection letters from Sape and Hill Parish Council, which were appended to the committee report. Summary objection on the basis of the exclusion of the pedestrian footpath from the southern end of the development, lack of national forest planting, overdevelopment, highway safety and harm to wildlife. There was 23 objection letters from neighbours relating to the principle, harm to visual and residential amenity, highway impacts, drainage and flooding, ecology and impacts on archaeology. So the principle, obviously there is an outline consent that covers part of the site, and this says the development of the site was previously considered to be acceptable. So on this basis, it is considered that the principle of the development is still acceptable. The site has no formal allocations and is located within the settlement boundary of Burton. So it's desirable to optimise vacant land within the main town, and the delivery of rental housing obviously helps towards housing requirements. Moving on to the design and the impact of the development on the character of the area. The layout and design is in accordance with the principles of the design SPD. The density of 44 dwellings per hectare is not considered to be overdevelopment, given the large areas of open space, wildlife corridor provided, along with the ample garden sizes, which are in accordance with the separation, distance, and amenity SPD. It's noted that the area consists of a large majority of terraced dwelling houses, and therefore it's not considered that this development would be out of character given the context of this built-up area. In terms of residential amenity, there'd be suitable separation distances to existing residential dwellings, as well as between the proposed dwellings, and there's a satisfactory level of amenity space for each dwelling provided. In terms of highway matters, development raises no adverse highway safety issues. The highways have not objected to the proposals. They're happy with the single entrance and exit from the site, and obviously recommend the conditions, such as the improvements to the junction from on Fivelands onto Rosliston Road. So the site's not within a conservation area and there's no listed buildings nearby. I spoke briefly before about the archaeology value of the site, and therefore the County Council have recommended a programme of archaeology works to be submitted. Again, with regards to flood risk and drainage, there's subject to suitable conditions, the development wouldn't result in any harm to those. And again, just reiterating that the county ecologist, Natural England, and the council's tree officer will raise no objections, subject to safeguarding conditions. So to conclude, it's considered that the proposals are compliant with the local plan, parking standard SPD, the MPPF design SPD, separation distance and amenity SPD, parking standards and safe in your neighbourhood plan. We've worked proactively with the applicant to secure a development that improves the economic, social, environmental conditions of the area in accordance with the requirements of the MPPF. And therefore, the recommendation is to grant planning permission subject to a Section 106 agreement and the recommended conditions.
Thank you for that, Emily. Right, so if we turn to the public speaking part of this session then, and if I can ask for a Mr. Bill Turson to be allowed in, please.
Roger, Mr. Turton.
Mr. Turton, please, yes. Hello, Mr. Turson. Can you hear me? Good afternoon, Mr. Churston. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Mr. Churston? As we can't hear anything at the moment, we'll perhaps revisit Mr. Churston. And if we can go to Mr. Ken Hansen.
Yeah, I just want to let Mr. Hansen know that he can dial in. Sorry.
No problem.
Okay. Mr. Hansen asked me to give them a call to say when he was ready to speak, but his phone's engaged at the moment.
So we might revisit him if we get chance then after our other speakers.
Yeah.
Okay, can we ask then, should we try Mr. Turson again and see if we can get him to hear us?
I've just got a phone call, just one moment.
We'll just wait for the county clerk to tell, the committee clerk even to tell us where we stand with this.
Councillor, Mr. Hansen's come through, but he's using Mr. John Harvey's laptop, so
that's okay. Nice.
Yeah.
So if we go in, Mr. Hansen, then please. Can you hear me, Mr. Hansen? If you'd like to take yourself off mute.
Hello?
Hi, Mr. Hansen, can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Right, yeah. Are you aware of our speaking procedure?
Yeah.
So you've got 3 minutes, and we will give you a warning when you have 1 minute left remaining.
Okay, thank you. Right, I've already spoken to the committee about the threat to wildlife, so I shan't go on about those concerns because I've already raised those at the last planning meeting and in writing to yourselves. I will, however, speak about the irreparable damage that this development will cause to the Stapenhill and its population. Any proposed development on this scale will increase the volume of traffic already severe and will lead to increased noise and air pollution and impact on an infrastructure that is already struggling to cope, bearing in mind that there are already several sites being developed in the neighbourhood as we speak. The SPC's Environment Evidence-Based Documents, Green Infrastructure Study Figure 8.3, East Staff's Recreational Green Space, identifies Stapenhill as being one of four urban wards with average green space deficit. Yet here we are discussing the destruction of 1.6 hectares of what is recreational green space. How is this going to improve the situation for the people of Stapenhill, who it is your duty to represent? If any of you were to speak to Stapenhill residents as I do, you would quickly see that they are greatly opposed to this development and see this planning proposal as potentially being the triumph of money over people. The general consensus of opinion is that the allotments, it seems, who've been allowed to fall into disrepair in order to easier facilitate the granting of permission to build on this land. Bearing in mind the recent pandemic and the population's rediscovery of the benefits of gardening, it's ill time to be removing the one thing that people are again seeking. Recent surveys have shown that there's an average waiting list nationwide of 52 requests per 100 allotments. It's a proven fact that the allotments encourage the local population to meet and integrate and reinforce a community spirit. Studies are also mentioning the benefits to mental well-being and a healthier life. Blackthorn Trust in Kent recently featured on Gardeners World detailed these benefits that gardening and nature can have for people suffering from mental illnesses and for the young and the disabled, and indeed it is seen as becoming a prescribed treatment in the future. Fivelands Allotment stands in the centre of Stapon Hill, schools, care homes and local day centres, all within walking distance of the site. And here you have an opportunity to work on behalf of and for the people of Stapon Hill and to create a recreational green space site, maybe in conjunction with the National Forest, and which will actually benefit people and not harm their futures. I therefore urge you to reject this application for development on the grounds that it is not beneficial to the existing populace and that the destruction of one of the last green spaces in Stapon Hill will be irreversible and lost to future generations. Finally, could you please verify that an ecological survey report has been submitted as per the conditions which were set at the last meeting? Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Right, if we can see if Mr. Bill Turnton is ready for speaking, please.
Yeah, he's coming through by telephone.
Okay. Mr. Turton, can you hear me?
Sorry, Chair. He's gone again. He's just called me and then he's... Hello. Yeah. You're not on screen now. It won't be a minute, Chair. He's getting all mixed up because he's ringing me on his phone and he's that he's calling into the meeting with.
Yes, no, not a problem at all. Okay. We'll just wait a moment while he connects.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, he's connected now. Okay.
Thanks.
Oh, hello, thank you. thank you. Just to confirm that the members of the planning committee can actually hear me this time. Marvellous technology. Right.
3 minutes.
Three minutes, yes. As you know, my name's Bill Turton, Chair of the Stapon Hill Parish Council. This was obviously discussed at our last council meeting, and obviously we've made two sets of comments and objections because it's quite a heated debate. But I'd like to take the opportunity now just to speak on, with an open mind, and speak on the fact that, just to emphasise some of the points which were discussed. And so I'll start. The more acceptable points were that the applicant is to retain the existing footpath from Main Street to Stanton Road, which was never applied for by the Borough Council to be added to the public rights of way map, even though it has been in constant daily use by the residents of Stapon Hill for many decades. This footpath through the allotment site has been used by me for the past 38 years, and other residents can vouch for much more usage than that. The applicant states that the pathway will go through the site, rerouted slightly along the new highway and be improved. The second one, a small but welcoming amount of S106 money is now to be provided by the applicant for the enhancement of facilities within the parish. Third one, a wildlife corridor green space is to be provided around the northern and eastern boundaries of the site to link with the retained allotments land. And finally, the applicant states that the existing character brick wall, believed to date from the latter part of the 19th century, which runs along most of the western boundary, is to be rebuilt and enhanced. All works of alteration and making good of the existing brick wall to be carried out in materials to match the existing. Now, to mention the the not so acceptable points of the application were from the parish council. National and local policy objectives seek to develop and expand pedestrian and cycle links from new developments to reduce vehicle dependency for shorter journeys. The omission of the pedestrian link pathway onto the southwestern corner of the site, onto Rosliston Road, which was included in the outline plan, flies directly in the face of these objectives. What is even worse is that the pathway exists on the ground as the current entrance to the site. Second one, national and local policy objectives seek to retain and enhance biodiversity as much as possible. One objective of this aim, and to also counter the effects of climate change, is to improve the amount of tree cover. And Burton area and Stapenhill is particularly deficient in tree cover. Stapenhill is a parish within the National Forest, and the policy objective is that 20% of the site area shall be National Forest planting. The greatly inadequate amount of 6% offered by the applicant on the grounds of non-affordability to plant more is lamentable. To suggest that the wildlife corridor can be used as an acceptable substitute for tree planting is even worse. Thirdly, the applicant has offered no mitigation of the negative effects of an increased number of vehicles using Five Lanes Road and onto the main street, which already suffers from congestion and high levels.